Well, we are in Missions Month, okay? And the topic, the title of Missions Month, you can find it on page number 7. It's a calling of God in the life of His servant. And I hope that God would call us to His work. There is no higher call than to do God's work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Only a few people believe that. Well, we need to understand God's call is the best for our lives, okay? And we're going to look at a whole area of missions, not only overseas, but also local missions. But also we're talking about soul winning, okay? You need to come in Sunday Bible Hour. We are talking in detail about soul winning, about what we need to do, why God wants us to go soul winning, requirements for soul winners, and what are some hindrances. We've touched on it today. If you missed it, it will be uploaded onto our website that you can follow along as well. And I believe the Lord is doing good work, mighty work in our life. Before we read in Mark chapter 2, I just want to share something, and I want to encourage people to strongly attend. Friday night, we're talking about the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest on Friday nights. The law of the harvest in the Bible basically has the idea that what you sow, you will reap. And what are the different principles associated with that? It was a blessing for me. That's my son, the eldest son, Jeremiah. It was a blessing for me after the lesson on Friday. Immediately, he checked. Apparently, we have next Saturday, right? Saturday is a children's outing. And he saw the law of the harvest in operation. We were learning. One of the principles is, when we sow now, we reap later. We reap a different time from the time we sow. Does that make sense? So when you plant rice now, you only get rice maybe a few weeks or a few months later when it grows, okay? And so we sowed in 2009, okay? And then we got a new contact for the children's outing, and he's coming or she's coming. And Jeremiah checked, and we tracked that family in 2009. And I think Faisa or some of the children's ministry will email people or send cards to them, and people are coming. Huh? We will reap if we faint not, amen? And we will just have to keep on going. Example, one of our members, Jesslyn, we knew her when she was primary 5. She came back and was baptized, joined the church 6 or 7 years later. We sowed, we were faithful, we reap, but we faint not. Okay? Can I say, don't give up in evangelism. Don't give up in trying to win someone to Christ. George Mueller prayed. You know George Mueller? He prayed for someone for 52 years, and he died. George Mueller died. But a few months after that, friend got saved. Your prayers for someone will never go unanswered. Amen? God hears, and if you are sincere and put your heart into it, God knows and God will answer. Can I challenge you with that? Let's stand as we read Mark chapter 2, okay? We'll be reading 5 verses. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. We pray that God will challenge our hearts this morning from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Okay, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, I'll read verse 3, read verse 4, and all together on verse 5. Okay, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Ready? Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised. That means it was told to people that he was in the house. Verse number 2. Wouldn't it be great if our church, like we were so filled that people would be opening the windows and trying to look in? Okay, we are praying that God will fill this place, okay? That when I preach, people can feel my saliva. Closeness. But anyway, let's verse number 3 now. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of 4. Verse 4. Verse 5 together. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your presence, it is not me that will preach, but your Holy Spirit that will teach the word. And I pray, Father, that if there's someone here with a need in their hearts, that Lord, your Holy Spirit and your precious word will speak to them in a precious way. That God, we're not here to play church. We're here because we want to hear from heaven. We want to hear the word of God. We want to hear what you, Lord, on the throne are speaking to us about. And that, Father, we pray that our life and our faith will begin to grow because we were here today. Speak to us in a special way. For those who are sick, we remember Brother Taylor once again. Oh God, do something to heal him. We know you're the great physician. We know you can heal. God, we know that healing is in your will. But as much as we pray, it's according to your will that you heal. But I pray, Father, your will be done right now. Oh Lord, raise him up. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. The setting is Capernaum. Jesus went to Capernaum. And after many days, apparently the Bible says that he was in a house, in a particular house. And you know, if there's a great person like the Lord Jesus Christ comes into town, everyone will go. Kind of like if, I think Bill Gates have come to Singapore before, right? Have he? I don't know. Bill Clinton, I think he has come to Singapore before. You know how much they pay him per hour? I think it's $100,000 or $200,000 or something. Some ridiculous amounts. But anyway, one big shot comes to town. Everyone wants to go there. Okay, that was what happened to Jesus. Okay, and a lot of people gathered, verse 2, the Bible says, and they were gathered around. And then there was this strange situation that all of a sudden, when everyone was listening to Jesus preaching, suddenly the roof opened. Alright, the roof opened and suddenly there was this guy who was kind of like being lowered down. Alright, and at that point, it was the Bible says there was a man who was paralyzed. Okay, the sick of the palsy means he was paralyzed. There was a palsy, there was a disease on him, to the point that he couldn't move. Okay, he had to be carried by four people. And so when Jesus saw them and said, well, the first thing Jesus did was say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now I just want to explain to you this context first. Okay, Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And what happened? We didn't read that, but I'll go on in verse 6. There were certain religious leaders over there saying, why does this man speak blasphemies? How can he say, forgive? You are just a man, according to the people there. You're just a man. How can you forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? Okay, Jesus knew what was happening in their hearts. You know what Jesus says? In verse number 8, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick, thy sins be forgiven thee, and to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Now those who know the answer, don't answer me, okay? But is it easier to say to someone, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say to someone, take up thy bed and walk? All those who say, it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, put up your right hand. There's a few. Okay, it's easier to say, or is it easier to say, take out the bed and walk, put up your hand. Okay, those not sure, put up your hand. Okay, now, let me give you the background. The Jewish people believe only God can forgive sins. The Jewish people also believe many times the people get sick because of sin. Does it make sense? And that person is sick because of his sin. So the first thing Jesus said was, thy sins be forgiven thee. It is because Jesus wanted to show to the Jewish religious leaders who he is. What did they say in verse number 7? Who can forgive sins but God only? Okay? So there was a question in their mind. Who can forgive sins but God only? So the first thing Jesus did was, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then after that, when the people started to doubt him, Jesus actually went on in verse 9. Whether it's easier to say, right, to the sake of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed. Verse 10, that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. Can I say this? It's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know why? Because there is no evidence. I can just say, thy sins be forgiven thee. In the context, this is what Jesus is trying to show them. I said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm going to prove to you that I am God. Take up thy bed and walk. And what happened? The guy took off his day and walked. In other words, miracles in the Bible is an authentication of who Jesus is. Does it make sense? It's very easy for me to say something to someone because it doesn't require evidence. Oh, I'm a Christian. Many people say, I'm a Christian. You know what the Bible says? Prove it. If let's say you stand in a court of law today and you are being accused of being a Christian, would they find much evidence against you? They say, yeah, the guy, he's a Christian. You know why? Friday night, I saw him praying. Friday night, he was here. Sunday, he comes to church. Sunday Bible hour. Not only that, he come early also to pray. At home, he have his family devotion. I was sneaking through. I saw him praying with his wife and his family. And he was everywhere he go, he got electronic Bible one. Samsung Tab or something. He will always be reading in MRT. I saw him. Okay? I saw him going witnessing, talking to someone about Jesus Christ. The judge was saying, yeah, I think he's a Christian. So many evidence against you. But would you be someone whom someone in the court of law will say, well, judge, you know, I don't know whether he's a Christian. Nothing much. Yeah, he goes to church on Sundays, but you know, nothing much after that. Okay? In this situation, Jesus proved that he was the Son of God by healing that man. Moving up to verse 1 to verse 5, I want to focus my attention on the four friends. Okay, I'll give you the background and focus attention on the four friends. These people brought this person into the place where Jesus was. And the Bible said there was something that moved Jesus to do something for this man. Look at verse number 5. Everyone saw that the man was there. What moved Jesus to heal this person and to forgive his sins? Can anyone tell me in verse 5? What was the thing that Jesus saw that motivated Jesus to heal and to forgive this person's sin? Anyone? What? Faith. The Bible says what? When Jesus saw their faith. Strange. I cannot see your faith. Faith is an abstract word. I can't see faith. Can you see faith? Can you see faith? Well, actually you can't. But you know, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. The Bible never said Jesus saw them coming through the roof. The Bible never said Jesus saw them carrying the stretcher. The Bible said Jesus saw something that generally you cannot see. Faith. Okay? So how do we see faith? Here, based on the Bible, faith can actually be seen. Alright? Based on the Bible. God wants to see faith in us before He can do something through us. Alright, this is a declaration I want to make today. God wants to see faith in us before He can do something through us. He wants to see faith in action. Now, how do we see faith? Genuine faith in Jesus Christ can be seen. If you say you are a Christian today, do you realize that your life will be able to represent Christ? There are works, there are things that can say that you are a Christian. How? How do we see that? Let's look at James chapter 2 verse 18. James 8. 2:18, there's some seats here in front. James chapter 2 and verse 18. James chapter 2 verse 18. Let me just organize them. James 2 verse 18, the Bible says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says here, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Which one is more convincing? James towards the end. Okay, for those, for our friends, some of the verses are actually printed here, so you can just follow, okay? Yeah. So James is saying, you say you have faith, you say you're a Christian, then show me your faith without your works. Now show you I'm a Christian by my works. Now which is more convincing? Which is more convincing? With your works. No, that's what Jesus said. I'm sorry, that's what James said. Let me make this clear. You're not a Christian because you do good works. Because good works does not save you. Okay? Many religions teach that good works do get you to heaven. The Bible says what? It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. So it's very clear from the Bible, works doesn't save us. But if you are a genuine Christian, you will have works. You will have works. A Christian is a loving person who does works to help other people. I say this many times, I say it again, I will never stop repeating it. If you read the Gospels, Matthew to John, Jesus is always helping someone. Amen. Our Savior is always helping someone. He's always doing something for someone. Healing the sick, raising the dead, opening eyes, teaching someone about the Gospel, eating with them to encourage them, etc. Jesus is always doing something. Faith can be seen by our works. Today's title of the message is Faith in Action. There are many works in the Bible. I want to touch on one specific aspect. And I pray that God will speak to us about this. Genuine faith. What are some evidences of genuine faith based on Mark chapter 2 that we can find? That Jesus, when He saw the faith, He forgave that person. Learn this important truth. Is it possible that because of your active faith in Christ, someone else can actually be blessed? Think about that. Because of four friends who cared enough for this particular man, this guy got healed. Notice also, when Jesus saw their faith, someone else got healed. When Jesus saw their faith, someone else got healed. Which means that if you would trust God enough to pray for someone, you know what the blessing you get is, that you see your friend being helped. Okay? I'll give you four things based on this passage. What are some evidences of faith in action? Number one, faith in action brings needy people to Christ. Faith in action brings needy people to Christ. In verse number 2, the Bible says, straightway or immediately, many were gathered together. Okay? Insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and He preached the word unto them. The word gathered together is an interesting phrase. The word gathered together means it is just a statement of fact. It also has the tense of being passive. What's passive? Passive means all of you are passive right now. I hope you're not passive because you need to be actively listening. Right? Huh? You know how you know how I know if you're passively listening? You look at me and slowly your eyes will close. That means the window is open, the engine is shutting down. That is passive. Okay? That's meaning how passive. Passive means I'm just watching, I'm not doing anything, I'm just watching. So there was this whole group of people gathered together passively. In other words, they were just there to watch. However, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and they come unto Him. The word come there, on the other hand, is in an active form. In other words, there's this group of passive people watching, but there are four friends who came to Jesus. The word come in the Greek also has the idea they came with a purpose. There was something that they wanted to accomplish in coming to Jesus that day. Okay, notice three lessons. Notice some lessons about their coming. Number one, they came to Christ. They came to Christ. Okay, the Bible says, and they come unto Him. It's always a wonderful thing when people come to Christ. Don't just come to church, you need to come to Christ. The church can give you some social relationships. Only Christ can give you a spiritual relationship that will change you from the inside. Oh yeah, you can come and see your friends and hi and bye, after have lunch, go home next week. No, after a while, I guess. But you know what? Jesus is with you every day. You need to come for Christ, number one. Number two, They came with a purpose. The word come means to come with a purpose. And what is their purpose? Number three, they came to Christ bringing someone in need. Okay, they bring one sick of the palsy. In other words, when they came to Christ, they didn't just come by themselves. They brought someone with a need. It is interesting sometimes when we bring people to church, our goal is just to bring a lot of people to church. And thank God. But you know what? It could be that when you bring that person to church, God may be saying, actually, there's someone with a need. He may be able to dress properly. There may be things happening. On the outside, he may look very well. But you know what? Deep down, there could be something in that heart of this person. Can I say this? I'm sure right now, in this congregation, at least one or two of you have things in your heart that Jesus Christ wants to speak to about. Not, I can preach the word, I don't know you, but I believe God's word is all incisive, meaning that He can cut through your heart and you are going to find yourself represented in the Bible. Why? Because God's word is a lamp, it's a light, it shows us who we are. Can I ask you this? Do you believe Jesus can help people? How many of you believe that? Clap your hand. Then it leads me to the next question. Do you know of someone in need, needing help? Are you going to bring that person next week? There are different levels of help, okay? I'm not saying that everyone, but you know the Lord Jesus can meet all needs. And it could be that God just wants to use you. You see, faith in action will bring needy people to Christ. Doesn't necessarily just bring to church. It could be that you go to that person in their need and you speak to that person and help the person out. Okay? You know, let's look at Andrew, alright? No, Andrew, look at John chapter 1. I think the verse is actually in your... Andrew in the Bible, after he known Jesus Christ, when he became a Christian, was the first thing he did? The Bible says, John chapter 1 verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The Bible says, 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. You know, if you are a young Christian, you need to go back to your families and tell them that you have found the Messiah. The one that is able to save your soul. Don't keep it secret. You need to tell someone. Parents, you need to tell your children about Jesus on a daily basis. Okay, on a daily basis, you need to tell them. Why? Because they need Jesus too. They need to know that as they go to school, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with them. And when they are in difficulties with the studies or whatever, or friends or whatever, they can turn to Christ. You need to introduce them. You need to tell them. Children are needy people. We are all needy people. We need Christ. Right? The Samaritan woman as well. If you look at the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, the woman then left a water pot, went her way into the city, and saith unto the man, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? See, the woman was an adulterous woman. Jesus Christ saved his life. Can you see the faith in action? The moment she realized that this is the Messiah, she didn't even bother about them herself anymore. Remember, this is a woman whom you, in that culture during that time, all the people, I'm not too sure, maybe in the Philippines or maybe in India, when you go to the well, which time of the day do you go to the well? Some say every time of the day. No. Usually in the Jewish culture, they will go in the morning to collect water, to bathe, to wash, whatever. And so it is. During that time, the Jewish culture, they went to Jacob's well, they collect the water in the morning. But this lady went in the afternoon. Why? Because in town, she had a reputation of being an adulterous woman. She had five husbands. And all the people in the town knew about that. And so in order to present up, avoid all the gossip and all that, she went in the towards the noonday. Okay, noontime. And so she was trying to avoid the people and the gossip. The moment she received Jesus Christ, you know what happened? Her reputation wasn't important anymore. It was more important, I'm saved. Jesus Christ saved me. I need to go and tell these guys. You know, there are times when I've heard this before, and I hope it's not true of you. Don't tell my husband I've been a Christian. Don't tell my wife. Don't tell my boss I'm a Christian. We have James Bond Christians, 007. secret agent Christians. Let your light so shine. Every Christian is a light. Light cannot be hid. Even if it's dark here, a light will still shine through the cracks of the doors. Amen? That's what a Christian needs to be. Faith in action will bring needy people to Christ. Let me ask you, do you have needy people in your family? Do you have needy people, friends? Christians who have walked away from Christ? Can I say this as gently as I can? When you have friends who walk away from God, your association with Him ought to be one of concern as a Christian. Does that make sense? Because we are a family of God. Let's say if someone walks away from God, ought we not to be concerned for our family member in the family of God? Yes, we should. You know, it is saddening for me that sometimes we would... when a person walks away from God, does certain things, we all applaud that person. You know, we need to pray for that person and bring them back to Christ. I can guarantee you, when a person walks away from Christ, he walks away from the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit, and God even wants the best for him. God cannot give him the best. Just like a mom or a dad who cares for a child, and the child decides that he wants to do what he or she wants. Even though the mom had a lot of blessings for the person to give to that person, the person is not there to receive it. You know what? As Christians, we need to be bringing needy people back to Christ. Whether Christian or not. Do you know of anyone who has a need? Then faith in action will bring that person to Christ. Do you have that kind of faith? Okay, number one. Number two, notice in verse 3. Number one, faith in action brings needy people to Christ. Number two, faith in action works cooperatively to reach needy people for Christ. In verse number 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried off four. Okay, I don't want to. Some people in this room need four people to carry, like me. Okay? We need Brother Lex, we need Brother Rolando, we need Brother Robert, and I need Uncle Roland. I can guarantee you one of them cannot carry me. They can try, they'll break their backs trying. Okay? But you know, with four people, collective strength is easier to bring the person. Does that make sense? Spiritually, the lesson here is very clear for us. We're in missions month. You know, when we have genuine faith in Christ, if what I can do, someone else can, let's work together to bring that person to Christ. You know, for me, it's an encouragement because the children's ministry, for example, is going to have a outing next Saturday. And we have different people calling different people, different people doing different things, all towards one goal. You know, when I was preaching in the Chinese church, Chinese ministry in the afternoon, 1 or 2 weeks ago, last week, it was. And I said this, in order for us, one of the phrases in the Chinese Bible was, everyone was aiming towards one goal. They were putting all the efforts into one goal. I can't remember, 结义, I can't remember. But the Chinese phrase says, it has the idea of, 团结, those who know 团结 in Chinese, is actually putting all your strength towards one goal. Doing different things, but all towards one goal. What? What's that? So that children can come to Christ during the children's outing. Some are calling, some are praying, some are printing out a form, some are going to invite their friends. We're all doing different things. Some are doing transport, some are doing food. We're all collectively working together so that people can come to Christ. You know, it is a sad thing if one... I'm not going to do that. I think I want to sleep in a bit. It's a bit too early in the morning. Okay. By the way, Brother Chai Heng needs help to tie water bombs. 700 water bombs. He needs to be ready by 10 a.m. Based on our experience, Jeremiah, last time we tie water bombs, how long does it take to tie 700 roughly? Okay, no. How long did you all take? It took what, 6 hours, 4 hours? About 400? Sorry, 700? How many people did you have? Okay, let's put it at four. Four persons, takes 3 hours, to die 700 water bombs. This is a PSLE maths question. So, how long does it take for one person to die 700 water bombs? It takes 4 persons. Come on, you're going to take a PSLE next year, right? It takes 4 persons, 3 hours to die 700 water bombs. So how long does it take for one person to die 700 water bombs? Huh? Very long. How many of you think Brother Chai Hing needs help? Amen. Will you be there? He's planning to be at 6 a.m. If you can help, please let me know. I'm serious. Okay? In order to get an activity done, he needs that help. Let's face it, no, it's not just the children, it's the Filipino ministry, the Chinese ministry, the youth ministry. We all need help. Can I say this? Faith in action will work together. If you're not doing anything, you know what? Your eyes need to be open. Lord, what can I do? Oh, Thai water bombs? Can. I can Thai. Last time I used a Thai chicken rice chili, you know. Or whatever. How many of you don't know how to Thai? See, no one put up their hands, so no how to tie, right? So, Brother Chai Hing, you can finish it in half an hour, because everyone will be here. Doesn't it say if everyone can just put in their effort, God can get things done? The youth ministry, we need counselors, we need people to cook, we need people to play games, not play games, plan games from the youth. You know, the youth are so full of energy, if you are slower than them, they get bored, right? Right, they want to climb mountains, go to the moon, the kind of thing. We need energetic people, and we need people who can plan games and really get them psyched up. But remember, it's not just the games, are you? It's not just the games we're aiming for, right? It's spiritual development. But the Bible says here there are 4 men who did one thing so that one person can get help. Is that one person worth it? Is that one person worth it? Can I say this? I say this to the children's ministry. If in all your planning, we spend $1,500, we spend six weeks of planning, one soul gets saved, God is honored. If just one soul comes to Christ, because that one soul is worth so much more than everything. You know, it's sad for me that people are, I've got no time. You got no time to save multiple $1 trillion person? A soul is precious. You know why we outreach? Because a soul is very important to Christ. Faith in action, genuine faith in Christ, will do something. The Bible, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Okay, I'll just read. Acts 2:46, I believe, is inside your paper there. And they're continuing daily with one accord. The word one accord means one mind. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Not only their heart was one, their thinking was one. You know what we have when we have a group of people with different types of opinions and not willing to come together? We have a divided group. You know, all of us have different opinions, but for the sake of Christ and for the sake of that one soul, can we just get together? Faith in action puts our faith in Christ. His work is priority. My opinions are secondary. I come and say, Lord, I can do this. I can do this. And we all put together, kind of like you need oil, you need garlic, you need Thai sim, you need meat to make the whole dish nicer. Does that make sense? Palabok, you need, I don't know what ingredient, you need rough noodles, you need prawn. What's the orange thing you use? I'm looking at the wrong person. Okay. What's the orange thing that comes out? There's peanut also, right? Chincharon. What's chincharon? Something. Pork. You need pork, you need you need the different things. And you can eat prawn by itself, yes? It won't be very nice. You can eat the chicharron by itself. Can you eat the chicharron by itself?
Yes.
You can. Is it nice?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I shouldn't use that. Well, if you put it together, it's nicer, right? Okay. I think if I put lime to make it nice, you put the whole thing together, it becomes nicer, amen? Yeah, of course you can eat prawn by itself and then get high blood pressure or less high cholesterol. But you put it all together, it becomes nice. But can you imagine if all as Christians say, Lord, this is your will. We're doing it for you. God, what I think is not important, I'm just going to serve you. And whatever I need, oh Lord, yeah, I'm going to go early, let's go. I'll just be there and just be there. Okay? We need to work together. There was a singleness of heart. One heart, one mind. And that's what the Bible is looking for. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, I love this verse. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And can I say all three must be involved? All three must be involved. Just now I mentioned about the contact. 2009, someone knocked on the door and the contact came. What if no one bothered to call their contact 2 years later? Would she have come? No. Okay, let me just paraphrase it in modern day 2011, 2nd of October. Someone tracted, someone called, and God gave the increase. Amen. It's not just that. I can tell you there will be many more instances like this. I get calls in the middle of the night. 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. Pastor, can you answer me this question? And this person, I haven't spoken to him for a long time. Someone must have gone out. Sometimes I receive phone calls from strange people. And someone gave me a track in the MRT or whatever. Because someone bothered to stand there and give. Can I say it's very frightening to stand at MRT to give tracks? Yeah? Not for Brother Robert, never mind. Anyone else? Sometimes it's pretty strange. Everyone looking at you, you know, Singaporeans, because we want the face. So we, you know, maybe we wear a mask. Well, you know, it is frightening sometimes. But not for someone to stand. You know, I've seen faithful pastors who just, at MRT, just give. We may not get, but you know what the Bible says? If you sow, you will reap. That's the Bible promise. But faith in action needs to work together. Let me ask you a question. What's your part in Ambassador Baptist Church? Is it just to sit around? No. And I want to encourage those people who are praying about joining the church. You realize when you join the church, God has a specific part for you. Amen. Just for you. Example, you realize your body. Every part of your body is useful. Can you name me one part that's not useful? Don't tell me anything that comes out of it, alright? Anything that's not useful? Every part of your body is useful. Did you know that? You just take out the eye. Do you realize how many parts are there in the eye? This is a fun one. Do you know how many hairs are there in your nostrils? 20,000. And every single one. Can you imagine life without life without hair in your nostrils? You'll be breathing in all the rubbish of this. Does that make sense? Already with the nostrils, our lungs sometimes get black. But can you imagine without nostrils? What about without gastric juices? There was one situation in Australia we were learning. There was one guy with his whole spinal cord fused together. Okay? Some of you may not understand the implication. If your whole spinal cord is fused together, when you jump and you know, it impacts. It's a tremendous impact on your... And you can... Every time there's this big electrical shock wave that goes through all the time. Lex knows, he's an exercise person. In the whole, the spinal cord is fused. Every part of your body is important. Do you know your small finger is important? How many of you think your forefinger is not important? Very important. You will find out very quickly when it's missing. Number one. Ouch! Okay, number one. Number two, you realize you lose power. If you grip, you realize this part actually comes around. It has to, in order to have the power. But if this one is taken out, there is one muscle that is actually linked to this alone. Okay, it's called the ulnaris muscle. That's linked to the flexor ulnaris muscle. If you take it away, you can't use it. If you don't have your thumb, you cannot write. Singaporeans cannot use chopsticks. You can use your other hand. Okay? Do you know if you lose your one big toe, do you realize that balance is a problem? Just one toe missing. One toe. Everyone is important in the local church. When one part is missing, our heart breaks. That's my heart as a pastor. Everyone in the church is important. We cannot say, I've heard this before, I'm not important in the church. Well, you take up the argument with God. God thinks you're important. And so we must have His mentality. We need to, either we plant or we water, but God will give the increase. The youth needs help. The Chinese ministry needs help. Are you willing to step out? You know, parents, you need to be working involved with the youth. Many of our children are growing up. You know, the youth ministry workers, they need your help to disciple your own children too. The church works in line with the family, not separate. Alright? For those who have children, don't say, oh, children's ministry, you take over. No, you must be constantly, you're right, this is my heart. I want every parent with child to constantly be talking to the Sunday school teachers. How's my children? How can we work together? Not to scold them, alright? How come my children get hair got poo white? No. You talk that, what you teach, like, oh, maybe I can reinforce that at home. And then the Sunday school teachers come back and say, hey, you need to do this. Oh yeah, then the parents will feedback, oh, we've been trying this. You know, the whole entire church, can you imagine? Everyone grows together. Oh, how we need one another. Faith in action works cooperatively. That's what the four friends knew. Do you think one of them can carry that one? Have you ever tried to carry someone who is like, not lifeless, cannot do anything and is in a coma perhaps? Someone who is like a sack of potatoes? Have you tried to carry someone who cannot support himself? Jaro, can you come? Okay, can you try to support me? Okay, why don't I try? You come, the sack of potatoes, right? Let go. No, your leg also. Leg also, don't worry. Don't worry.
You see, he doesn't have faith in his dad.
Okay. Maybe I should get me Tim, you wanna come? Yeah. Okay. No. Are you ready for me? No, carry.
Serious.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. But if I really let go, can you imagine if I faint? Of course, legs run. But they'll still need more than one person to carry me. Amen?
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. That's why we need to work together. Why do you think God put us together? Did you realize when God made us, He didn't make us lone rangers? Even lone rangers has his tanto. Yes! The Indian that follows him. Even he needs a friend. What makes us think we can operate on our Christian life by ourselves? Families, what makes you think that you can operate yourself? You only need other families to encourage you too. God made a church for that reason. To help one another. And we need to, faith in action works cooperatively to reach needy people for Christ. And I pray that ambassador will be that. I love this brother, I love this sister. I will do what I can to be part of that life, to help him to Christ. Alright, point number three. Firstly, faith in action brings needy people to Christ. It works cooperatively. And number three, faith in action overcomes. I like this one. Faith in action overcomes. Okay? Verse number four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that means the press means there's a lot of people there. Everyone is kind of just congested, you know, like MRT in the morning at about 7:30 to 8:30. Alright? Everyone is like pushing can you imagine trying to carry this guy through? No way! The Bible says, and when they could not come near to Jesus because of the press, because of the group of people that kind of compacted it together, the Bible says what? They uncovered the roof where he was. Last, don't think of our modern day roof. It can never happen. During those days, they actually put materials that can actually peel away. Okay? And so don't think about cement roof. Roof tiles, yeah. Yeah, but here cannot. Here you got cement. Okay? Don't think. But in those days, they can actually peel it off. Can I say this? When you serve God, genuine faith. When you serve God, you will have tribulations in your life. There will be time. You know, when our family serve God, and I'm sure some of you who really stretch yourself, some of us don't even have time to watch television or read the papers. Because you're so busy doing your own duties and your service to God, you're just so tired. There will be obstacles. After a while, you may break down, you know, physically perhaps. Sometimes there'll be obstacles. Sometimes when you share the gospel, you know what our biggest heartbreak is, that when you try to help someone, the person doesn't want to be helped. That's the biggest heartbreak for me as a pastor. When someone wants to be helped, when someone needs help, instead of someone has cancer, for example, I don't want treatment. It's like, come on, it's just stage one. You can deal with it. Don't want. It's like, ah. And sometimes my heart breaks, because I hope your heart breaks too. I'm sure it does. When you're trying to help someone, and the person just keeps on backing off and don't help. Those are the, you know what? Okay, can I say this? You know what you do in those situations? When you cannot do anything, you know what you do? You go to him who can do anything. You need to go to God. You need to go to Christ. And so, yes, but serving God sometimes will bring obstacles and challenges. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, let me just read that. This is an extremely encouraging verse. He says, whosoever is born of God, that refers to a Christian. If you're a genuine Christian, you will overcome this world. You will overcome. What is there is a historical present, means that you will keep on overcoming the world if you are born of God. Why? Because God lives inside of you. Okay? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is the victory that overcometh the world? Even our? Come on. Not only as a joy. Even our? Faith. It's not our abilities. It's not our... it's not our strength, it's not our power, it's not our skills, it's not our what we have. It's our faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, can I say this? There are some people that I want to reach that I cannot. But by faith I can. Because I'm going to him who can reach all men. Amen. Some of you have your parents. Some of you have your loved ones. God, I just tried to reach them. It's so hard. You think God doesn't know? By the way, do you realize God cares for our loved ones more than we do? You realize that if you put in your effort, God might just use you? But you know, God cares for our loved ones and the lost much more. You know why? Number one, I know He loves them because why? Jesus died for them, even before they even know Him. Number two, God is sending out His grace. He's planting churches. He's getting people to be excited and wanting to get... Why? Because God wants to reach these people. Faith overcomes. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In application of this verse, can I say this? If you are not a Christian today, you will have no chance of overcoming the temptations in this world. Because the only person that can help you to overcome these things is you yourself. And if it's just you yourself, I think we all know, we ourselves are not very strong. Oh yeah, we can last a bit, but no, we will fall. But with God with us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8. Okay, God can, faith in action will overcome. 3 points under this. Number one, overcoming faith refuses to let obstacles stop them. If you are a Christian, you need to have overcoming faith. You can stand an obstacle and say, I'm not going to allow you to destroy me, because if Jesus is in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Okay, in verse number 4, when they came nigh unto the press, they could not go in. So what did they do? They uncovered the roof. They will not let any obstacle stop them. It's very easy sometimes to give up. How many of you, honestly, when you are trying something, you have given up before? Put your hand. Given up. Yeah. Why? Maybe for Joshua, he's learning how to cook. Just kidding. Sometimes we have given up before. But can I say this? In the most important things of your life, such as your family, such as salvation, such as winning someone for Christ, such as serving God, such as you doing something you know is important. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up. Overcoming faith refuses to let obstacles stop them. Remember Moses? Moses was at the Red Sea, was he not? I like this. I always like the Red Sea in front, Pharaoh's army behind, mountains on both sides. Cannot get away. What did he do? He panicked, right? No, the people panic. But you know what Moses said? Stand still. And behold, the salvation of the Lord. Learn this vital principle. When you think that every area is blocked, Then you know what you do? Don't do anything. Go to him. They can open the Red Sea. You know what? That was what Moses did. You know what? Moses had extreme faith in God. And God says, Moses, just touch the waters with your staff. What happened? Do you know how big the Red Sea was? 18 to 24 kilometers. God had to hold the pathway for 2 million people. They estimate it's probably about a kilometer wide. 24 kilometers, 18 to 24 kilometers of water being held up by nothing but the breath of God. Can you imagine if you're an Israelite who was complaining and Moses says, go. I said, as you go, you see the sharks swimming by, you know. Dry land. Can I say? I read this very cute caption before. When I face an obstacle, I either go around it, I go over it, I go under it, I go through it. If I cannot do all that, I change it into a mountain of gold by the grace of God. Can I say this? All the obstacles in your life are sent by God to make you strong. That's why genuine faith in Christ will not let it stop you from achieving what God wants you to accomplish in your life. Genuine faith in God. In Psalm 78, verse 39, I just read, for he remembered that they were but flesh. Psalm 78, verse 39, referring to God. God remembers that we are but flesh. A wind that passes away and cometh not again. Verse 40, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? God says, I want to provide for you, but the people keep on rejecting God. In verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know how we limit the Holy One of Israel? When we come to an obstacle in our life, we say, I'm giving up. I'm not coming anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. When in our attitudes we change towards one of the world, whereby we begin to live like the world. You know, when we face the obstacle, you know what we need to do? Keep our hearts squarely on Christ. Remember Peter walking on the water? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. But the moment he looked at the waves, what happened? He sank, the Bible says. Literally, he sank. You know, Christians, we need to fix our eyes on Christ. We thank God. In our church, we went through a period of time whereby sometimes it's just dryness. Then the Lord taught us, you are just sowing. Amen? You are just sowing and I am giving you the increase. But you know what? The sowing time is the hardest. Because you got to brave the cold. You got to go perhaps weeks without results. You got to just keep going, keep going, keep going. But faith in Christ will not give up, will not allow obstacles to stop them. That's what the Bible says. Yea, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you, what is there in your life that needs overcoming? What is there in your life that needs overcoming? You know, once you overcome that, God blesses you. Okay? Number one, overcoming faith refuses to let obstacles stop. Then number two, overcoming faith does whatever it takes. In Mark chapter 2 verse 4, they couldn't get through, so what did they do? They went up to the roof. Okay? And can you imagine, they probably attracted a lot of attention coming down from the roof. But you know what? I cannot come in this way. The window is blocked. The door is blocked. Up there. In the Jewish house last time, what they have was, they call it the name now, but they actually have, they're kind of like those houses in Taiwan whereby they actually stack on top of one another. Okay? Interestingly, in the Jewish house, there's a door, there's a windows, there's actually a side staircase that goes up to the side. Okay? So probably what they did was, I can't get through, I've got a staircase, let's go up by the way, carry up. No, careful, don't drop him out, that kind of thing, you know. I don't know how they lowered him, they probably got ropes. The Bible never say, but they probably got ropes, they used a bit of thinking. They did all it takes. They did whatever it took. Or maybe there was a Boy Scout in there, you know, they was tying. I don't know. But you know, obviously they had to do something to bring him down, but they did whatever it takes to get the job done. Faith does whatever it takes. When we believe that the Lord can do something, we will spend no effort to reach the goal. I believe with all my heart that God wants to save my in-laws who has been steeped in the Shinto or the Soka religion for more than how many years? 40, 50 years? 40 years, 20 years? Long time. I believe God wants to break that, the bondage in that family. And I'm learning Chinese now. Faith in action will do what is required. You know, don't quote me on this, okay? I've ever even thought of learning Tagalog. But don't quote me, don't quote me. We thank God we have many men who can speak Tagalog and teach, okay? But you know what is important? Because faith in action does whatever it takes. It's amazing, on a mission field, how many missionaries who cannot speak Mandarin or whatever, they pick it up very fast. Why? They had a heart and they want to do it, and God blesses them with that. Overcoming faith does whatever it takes. Let's turn to John chapter 12 and verse 24. I want to teach you a very important principle about this. Overcoming faith does whatever it takes. John chapter 12 verse 24. I want you to notice verse 23 first. One of the most glorious things is going to happen. Jesus answered them and saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." The time that Jesus Christ will be hailed as the King of this universe will be coming. And of course, the disciples are excited. You know why? They are looking for a physical conqueror. But you know what Jesus says? "It will not be done according to what you think. I'm going to be glorified, but it will not be done in the way that you think." Look at verse 24. "Surely, surely, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus taught this faith lesson. In order for God to get the glory, the requirement in agriculture, the seed that is planted actually dies, it breaks up. Okay, I don't know all the little details, I was trying to study it. What did that? The seed actually has to die before life can come out. Now, if this picture from agriculture is true, which it is because Jesus Christ brought it up, power in our life to bring life will only come when we are prepared to die to ourselves. Which means when it's time to tell someone about Christ, maybe at a workplace, I will die to my pride. I will die to whatever people will say of me. And I will say, "Can I give you a try?" And you may have, in your heart may be boom, 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 boom. Have you had that? The first time when I was secondary one, trying to give a track in a bus, my heart was like jumping out already, you know. It's just giving a track, you know. But thank God, you know, as you keep doing, things get a little bit better, amen. But you know what? It always requires the initial place of death. It requires us to say, "I know I'm tired, but I know someone needs Christ. I will die to my tiredness. And I'll go and knock on doors. I know so and so needs help. I need to do so many things. But that person needs help. I'm going to die to what I need. I'm going to that person first." That's what Jesus is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ has taught us this lesson so clearly. You know where we see this lesson so clearly shown? In the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. God, is it possible if I don't go through it? But nevertheless, not what I will, but thine be done." He died to himself. That's why when he stand before the Pontius Pilate, he had no problems. He just kept quiet. He could even tell Pontius Pilate, "You won't have power over me unless it's given from on high." You know why? When you have surrendered and you have died, Christ fills you. Remember last week when God says no? Those who came? And when you are empty, God can then fill you. It's the same principle. Christians, do you know why you and I are here today? Because they are selfless. I can tell you, I won't name the names, but you know what? In the initial building of Ambassador Baptist Mission, there are many people who sacrificed time and time. They fought within themselves, knowing that it's going to require so much of them. But because they sowed, now they are reaping. Amen? They are seeing the fruit. But I can tell you, those initial years when we started, it's like the only person that comes for prayer meeting is me, myself, and my children. My wife even had to carry one of them. But you know what? He shall reap if he faint not. And God is saying this, look, Christians, are you concerned about helping someone in your life? It could be that you may have to sacrifice some of your time. You may sacrifice your badminton, or you sacrifice your soccer or tennis to help someone. You may have to sacrifice your cycling because someone needs help. You may have to sacrifice your computer games just to help someone. Thank you. You may have to sacrifice. Are you willing to? Are you willing to? One of my visions for Ambassador, a sacrificial church. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. Do you realize the more we give, the more He gives us? Amen? Let's have this heart whereby faith does whatever it takes. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And finally, no, sorry, listen to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And then finally, Ezekiel 37. Some of you may already know the passage. It's a valley of dry bones. But Brother Johnny, you've been trying so hard. I've done what it takes. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, which is our third point, overcoming faith goes against logic. Overcoming faith goes against logic. Verse 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Okay, there was emphatic, okay? It's not even in italics. If you read your Bible, if it's in italics, it means that it wasn't in the original. Okay? And so here, the very dry means it was already in the original. It's very dry. Okay? The bones are very dry. It wasn't. The person had died until cannot come back already. He's died. You know what? And he said unto me, God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? You know, God was asking an impossible question of Ezekiel. Can these bones live? It's already been dead so long, it's so dry. Can it live again? You know, Ezekiel wisely said, Lord, thou know, only you know. If you think it can, it can. If you think it can't, it can't. Lord, it's your will. We need to have that submission. You know what happened? Those who know the story knew, God actually raised up those dry bones. Dry bones have a reference to Israel. But you know, are there dry bones in your life that you find it is impossible for me to get that done? I can never talk to this person about Christ. The next time you ask that question, read this verse. When God asks you, can these bones live? You know what's the answer? Yes. Because God can make them live. Because faith, overcoming faith, goes against logic. We raised $42,500 in 6 weeks. And we had only 8 members. Of course, God gave help. The church van is testimony. God can provide. $180,000? Maybe God is extending. God moved us. Firstly, we rented a place, $580. Second rental was $1,005. Now it's $3,200, $3,000. And the next one is almost free. Can God provide? Yes. We serve an almighty God. And when we live by faith, it goes against logic. People don't understand. Because you see, God doesn't work man's ways. God works His way. And we need to learn that overcoming faith goes against logic. One verse in Romans, please. Romans chapter 4. I want you to meditate upon this one. Romans chapter 4. This is one of the most impossible passages in the Bible. But in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. This was Abraham. Okay? Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In this context, Abraham was already 100 years old. 100 years old. When he was about 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was 90 years old. How many of you like to give birth at 90 years old? That's why the Bible says in the book of Genesis, Abraham laughed. God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. God, you must be joking, you know. I'm old and I know Sarah is a good woman, you know. But you know, give birth. And God actually spoke to him at 89 years old. You know what God says? You laugh. This time next year, you will have a son. And the Bible accomplished that in Genesis chapter 21. And Sarah had that son. You know what the Bible says in verse 20? If you read in Genesis, you will feel that Abraham actually was not very steady with his faith. But you know what the Bible says in verse 21? No, sorry, verse 20. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he performed, promised, he was also able to perform. The word fully persuaded is the root word where we get the word faith from. You know why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to be fully persuaded that God is able to do it, then you can have faith. Some of us are not even in the Bible, then where is our faith? We need to be fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is able to save. And that's why we go out soul winning. Okay? Overcoming faith sometimes goes against logic. Brother Johnny, why do you keep going? Because I know Jesus Christ wants us to save someone, reach someone for Christ. I may not see the result now, but that's okay. My job as Christian is to sow. And God's job is to give the increase. And I'm out there. And you must be out there too, to be faithful to God. And finally, faith in action gets recognized and rewarded. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Faith in action gets recognized. Can I say this? Can I encourage Christians who are not giving up in serving Christ? You may not get recognition now, but Jesus sees you every time you serve Him in faith. When you have to give up something to serve Him, Jesus recognizes that. And you can be sure that act of faith whereby you serve God will be rewarded. That's what it says in the Bible. And I can tell you many, many situations in the Bible, the same thing. And one way of interpretation of Scripture, if one passage says this, and a few other passages say the same thing, that's a consistent trend in the way God works. And that's why I can preach it as truth. Does it make sense? And so here, God saw the faith of this person. God saw their faith, they got recognized, and they were rewarded. Because their intention was to help their friend. Was their friend helped in the end? Amen, yes it was. It all started with faith. Trusting in God. Fully persuaded. Some of us are not fully persuaded that God can help. Some of us are not. You know how I know? By their fruit you shall know them. Let me say this. As you serve God, there will be struggles. There will be struggles in the family, in things. But faith will be rewarded. That's what the Bible promises here. And Jesus told them, He said to the sick of the poor, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That was exactly what the poor person brought this needy person to Christ for. So that he can get healed and that his sins can be forgiven. As we close, is your faith active? Or does your faith always attend NATO conferences? You know what's NATO conference? No action, talk only. You know what's NATO? North Atlantic Treaty Organization. No action, talk only. Oh, don't attend those conferences, it's a waste of time. The Bible is a book for obedience, not a book for discussion. The Bible is a book of obedience, not a book for discussion. Well, a lot of us will discuss it. No, God wants us to be obedient to Him. As we close, I'll finish with this. There were two groups of people that day. The four friends of faith and a curious crowd. Which one are you? There were two groups of people that day. The curious crowd that pressed, and they were not prepared to do anything, they just there to listen, curious. But four friends of faith. Who said, Jesus is there. I got a friend. Hey, maybe last time I got no SMS, no calling. So they probably had to run and, hey, can you help me to carry this guy there? Jesus is in town and he, I'm sure he can do something. And they and they all went. Which are you? Are the four friends? Or are you the curious crowd? May Ambassador Baptist Church always be the four friends. Always be the four friends. Always praying. Always God. May not be outside. Maybe just be your family. Pray for your family. Get them together. Pray with them. And get them involved. You know what? God will bless. You first. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the attention of the people. And thank you, Father, most of all, for your encouragement. Father, I know today you want us to have faith in action because that word is very clear. About these four friends, Lord, who because of someone in need, they were willing to do all they can. Despite the obstacles, they did all they can. And even defied logic, Lord, they came to Christ so that their friends can be helped. Oh Lord, help us. Help us by your grace to trust you more. Lord, help us not to give any more reasons or excuses not to bring people to Christ or not to even believe and trust in you more. Father, some of us ourselves are needy people. We need to come to you first and ask you, Lord, to help us. But God, we also have friends and relatives who need Christ. Maybe they need help in their lives. God, help me to believe you more by faith that we might help them. Because Lord, you said in your word, when you saw their faith, you helped them in their need. Lord, I pray that for someone with a need here, I ask that you open their eyes to that need, that your Holy Spirit might help them. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, please. I just want to ask two questions of you. Number one, if you're here, you're a Christian, and you say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me, my faith needs to be more active. Oh yeah, some of you may be doing some, but you know that there are certain things that are being stopped. The Bible says in Psalm 78, I'm limiting God in my life. Is it possible to limit God? Absolutely. You see, God is not a God that will force Himself. He only do what you allow Him to do. That's our God. But when you allow Him to do, He does much more than we ask. Say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to my heart. I want God to put His faith in me, that I might live for Christ more, and do more for Him. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. I see that hand too. Amen, I see that hand. I want to trust God. Put it up and put it down and then pray. Whatever decision is in your heart, you just tell God, God, this is my decision. I'm going to do this for you. Is there anyone else? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Fathers, what about you? Is your faith in action to the point that your children can see it? Because Deuteronomy 6 says, you must talk of it when you walk with your children by the way, and when you rise up and you sit down. Your children ought to see your faith in action on a daily basis. And fathers, what about you? Mothers? Young people, are you surrendering to Christ to live by faith? Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Oh God, strengthen every father. And anyone else? All right, if you're here today for the first time perhaps, or maybe you've been here but you've heard the gospel so many times, but you're not sure. If you die right now, you'll be in heaven. Say, Brother Johnny, I hear this thing about faith. How do I get that faith? Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for our sins, that if we will trust Him as our Savior, He'll forgive us our sins and set us on the way to heaven. There's a purpose of ambassador to draw people to Christ. Say, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I die right now I'll be in heaven, but I sure like to be sure. You get someone to share with me. Say, anyone like this? Just put up right hand, I'll pray for you, and then I'll get someone to share with you the gospel. Don't leave this place without making that sure. We're not asking for money, we're not asking for anything. Just for an opportunity to share with you the blessed gospel that Jesus Christ has, that He loved us and died for us. Is there anyone? Now let's pray. Father, we thank You for those hands that have gone up and prayed, and are praying right now that, Lord, they will live by faith. They will learn to trust You more and put You first in everything. God, I know You say to seek ye first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness, and all the things they need will be added unto them. Lord, the things added unto us is not our priority. Our priority needs to be putting You first. Oh God, I pray that if someone is struggling against that decision, help them to know that spiritual things are more important, Lord. 6 days a week we give our lives to the world, and we hardly give much to God. And Father, I pray things will change. And I pray for those who have put up their hands, I pray that God, they will have faith in action, genuine faith in their lives. That their character will change, the words will change, the way they speak will change, the places they go to will change, the friends they mix with will change. Not because they want to, but because they want to do right and honor God. Father, I pray that today when they go, Father, we will see faith in action in Singapore, with the people that have come here. Lord, I ask Your Holy Spirit to let our lights be burning. And Father, we pray that You bless everyone who has made a decision. For those who are struggling, I ask, Lord, that You strengthen them too. We thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we just sing a closing hymn. Let the lower lights be burning. Stanza 1 and Stanza 3, alright? Stanza 1 and Stanza 3. Let's sing from our hearts that God will use our lives as a light for our family, and for our neighbors and for the friends around.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore, but to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Struggling seamen, You may rescue, You may save. Trim your feeble and my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness maybe lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a some poor fainting, struggling seamen, You may rescue, You may save.
Don't forget the person that you wrote down a few weeks ago that you want to pray for. That may be the struggling seamen that God wants you by faith to reach. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time, and thank You that You were in our midst. Lord, I know that You have spoken in some way to someone because there were decisions made. Lord, we do not underestimate what You can do in a life that is totally committed to You. Oh God, that your Holy Spirit will take control of our lives as Christians. That God, we will surrender our attitudes, we will surrender everything that will hinder your work in our lives. Oh God, I pray for every child that as they sit in the services week after week, their lives will be transformed too. I pray for every teenager that comes, Lord, their lives will be transformed not by Brother Johnny, but by the Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word. And that the Word of God will take root and bear fruit. Oh Lord, I pray for every young adult that comes in the Father, whether they are Filipino or whether they are Singaporean or wherever they are from. Lord, I pray that our lives will change. Because you came to set us free from ourselves. You came to save us from ourselves, for our sin. I pray for moms and dads. I pray especially for dads who make decisions just now. Oh God, give them genuine faith. Give them faith that will take their wives and their children and pray. And that they will read the Bible and they will be faithful to the things of God. And that their children, as they grow up, will begin to see the reality of the Creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those who are older. I pray, Father, that you will help them to step up in faith. God, we're praying specifically. There are needs in the children, in the youth, the Filipino, the Chinese. God, we need all these places filled. And I pray that you raise up people who say, yes, I will put my faith into action. Now serve God, no matter what it takes. Father, I pray for one who do not know Jesus. I pray that you will help them, Lord, at least to know Christ before they leave this place. Lord, I pray you bless us this week. Help us to be alike. And Father, may someone else outside be touched by someone inside who has been here. And as they carry the Word of God with them, the love of Jesus with them, oh, use them in a mighty way. And may their faith be put into action this week. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you and have a wonderful week. And put your faith into action, all right?